morning here. I think it's neat. I think it's a neat thing from God. You know, we're in our 2020 vision. We're talking about our 2020 blessings that are happening. And I think it's so cool that this whole year, God is going to remind us of that, because every month, there's going to be the 20th of the month, right? So in January, we wrote it 1, and then we wrote 20/20, right? Because that's the end of the year. And then in February, it's 2/2020, and then March, 3/2020, 4/2020, 5/2020, 6/2020. God is going to remind us about this whole 2020 blessing, this whole 2020 vision, this idea of trusting Him and living in Him and believing God to do things above and beyond what we can expect each and every month. So in that time of the month, when all of a sudden the next month comes around and it's 3 and you're going 20, oh, it's 2020. Yes, it's the 2020 blessing. God is reminding us of having vision to see Him do something amazing. I love what Pastor Joe said about the idea. It's not about erasing debt. It's about erasing doubt. Oh, God, get us to trust. Get us to trust. Well, I was gone a couple weeks, and we had some great preachers here, but I want to just give a recap of some of the things that have happened here. We talked about our theme for this year, Vision to See in 2020. We talked about blind Bartimaeus and his hunger for the Lord, and he wanted him to do something. The Lord asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And we're saying, hey, what do you want God to do for you this year? And blind Bartimaeus says, I want to see, I want to have vision. He wanted to have vision. We also talked about the God of this age has blinded people. He's blinded their thinking, and He steals from us little by little that we don't even know it's been stolen from us until we get so far down the line we realize that we're bankrupt. But God opens our eyes so we can see that which can't be seen. And Pastor Joe, a couple of weeks ago, talked and elucidated that even more. Then we talked about the servant of Elisha. When the Syrian raid came in and surrounded the city, and Elisha's servant said, oh my gosh, we're surrounded by all of this. What shall I do was the question. And I think all of us ask that question at some time. And Elisha gave him the response. When there's a difficult time, what shall you do? Number one, don't fear. Number one tactic of the enemy is fear. Number two, pray, talk to God about it. And then number three, let God open your eyes to see a new dimension, a new thing that God is doing in the midst of your adversity, your trial, or whatever. Then we talked about Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint. And then last week, we talked about the guy born blind from birth. Aaron, an excellent, a profound message last Sunday on this kid who was born blind in all these years. And who sinned? Him and his mother. And, oh, no, you got the wrong idea about the trials and tribulations you're going through. Why are we going through these trials and tribulations? What's happening? You see, Jesus said, what happened to this guy? It's so that the works of God might be displayed in him. So the works of God might be displayed in him, and he heals him. When you're going through difficulty or problems, why is God doing this to me? I'll tell you why. Because he wants to display his miraculous glory and power in you. One translation says that he displayed his power in him, that he might display his power in him. God wants to display his power in you regardless of what you're going through. We operate different than the world operates. We have a God inside of us, so when we face tragedy, we look at it from God's perspective, not from, oh my gosh, this is awful. We look at it from, I know this is difficult, but God's got me in this for something, and I want to see his glory in it all. Well, again, all those messages you can get online at livingfaithfellowship.com, or better yet, get Living Faith Fellowship Pullman app. Put it on your phone. It'll read the Bible to you, do a lot of great stuff to you. So we're going to continue on this concept of vision. Vision. It's used 104 times in your Bible. Vision. The people in the Bible who had visions, who had vision and who had visions are many. First of all, Abraham had a vision. A vision, and God spoke to him and said, don't be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield. You're great and exceedingly great reward. Israel, Jacob had a vision. Samuel had a vision about Eli. Nathan had a vision that he gave to David about that he wasn't going to build the kingdom, but build the temple, but his son would. Ido, Uzziah, Isaiah had a vision. Ezekiel had a vision. He saw the heavens open up and God gave him visions. Daniel, from a young man, had visions and he could interpret visions and dreams. Hosea, Obadiah, Nahum, Job, Ananias, Saul had a vision. Cornelius had the vision. He's the Gentile who has this vision from God. And Peter also has a vision. And then they link up with this and find out that God is saying, don't call unclean what I've called clean. These Gentiles I'm bringing into the kingdom. And aren't you glad that God decided to do that? Amen. Because we're all in that category. Most of us, at least in here, are probably in that category. Peter had a vision, and then Paul had numerous visions. I'm going to talk about how Paul's visions led him next week. But these visions were communications and directives from God to people. These visions could have been a dream. It could have been a prophetic word spoken by God or by an angel. These prophetic words, hearing from God, seeing things in the Spirit. God communicating to man his heart and plan and vision for them. And he did it in multiple ways. He spoke to all the prophets of Old Testament and New Testament. And he spoke to this thing called visions. And it has a broad definition, a very, very broad definition of what God wants to do. The word vision, I've said this last time, kauzon, it means a sight mentally, a picture that we see in our head, something that's come into our mind that God has put into our mind that all of a sudden we start seeing something, we start feeling something. We start looking at the future and God gives us some ideas and gives us a mental picture. He may give you a dream. The word here, vision, means a dream. It could be in the day, a daydream, a night dream. Let me encourage you, if you get a dream, write it down when you wake up. Write it down. Don't forget it. If you have a dream at 3 o'clock at night and you wake up and go, I'll write it down in the morning, you're going to write nothing because you're going to forget it. Get up, get out of bed, write it down because God is speaking to you. It's one of the ways he does it. He speaks to us in visions and dreams. So write it down. The word vision also means a revelation. A revelation is that aha moment that you're reading the scriptures and God gives you, oh, that's what that means. Or you're walking through life and you're perplexed about something and all of a sudden God drops something in your heart and gives you a vision, a thought, an idea to move forward in that can change everything. You see, God is always speaking to you. He is always trying to communicate his heart, his desire, his plan for you. It could be an oracle. The word vision means an oracle. An oracle is an authoritative or wise expression or answer. God wants to give you wisdom. He wants to give you wisdom. I put this way, a vision, a dream that God gives to you for the direction of your life. A dream, a thought, an idea, a hope, something out there that God is giving you for the direction of your life. God wants to direct your life. Now, I know that that's not foreign to anybody here, but how are we living that out? Is God directing your life? Are we listening on the very edge of our seats in the morning in our quiet time as we're reading the Word? As we're getting direction from God, as we're asking God to lead us and to guide us and to take us forward, are we really listening and going, Lord, you know, we live and die by the word of God that's spoken out of his mouth, right? Jesus talked about that. We don't live by this. We live by the words that come out of the mouth of God to us. It speaks to us. That gives us life each and every day. When I was up at the water tower this morning and I was praying and I was asking God, man, Lord, what do you want people to take away from this thing? What's the number one thing you want them to take away? And he said this, we need to hear from God. We need to hear from God. What is he doing today? Oh, I know. He spoke something to me a long time ago and I'm just walking on that. No. What is he speaking to you today? What did he speak to you yesterday? What is he speaking to you today? What is he going to speak to you tomorrow? You see, he's going to continue to guide you and direct you. He's going to continue to move you. He's giving you Vision. He's giving you vision. It's there, but sometimes we don't go to the doctor and get the prescription. You know, God may have something to allow you to see life better, give you better glasses, or maybe you need to change your prescription because you've grown and things are not quite as in focus now. You got a little bit older, you need a little bit of correction. That correction comes in our daily walk with the Lord. He's trying to tell you what he wants for your life. And honestly, what he wants is the best thing for your life. We sometimes argue, no, that's not what I want. I want this. I want the candy store. I want all of this stuff that the world has to offer. And God's going, it'll make you sick. I've got something for you. But are we daily in this? Asking God, give me vision, give me direction, give me insight. Lord, when I go to bed, give me a dream. Give me a vision. Speak to me. Sovereign God, speak to me. Do we really live and die on his words? The people in the past, they lived and died on his words. They went to the lions in the Colosseum on his words. They weren't going to renounce what they believed. They stood strong. And they needed that day to day. Lord, I need encouragement. I need vision. I need vision. I need vision. Do you have vision? And is your vision 2020 or is it skewed right now? Are you seeing things the way you saw it a few years ago and all of a sudden it's not quite in focus? It's not quite as sharp? It's not quite as exciting? It's not quite as running your life like it used to before? God wants to give us some correction to the vision. That's where the daily aspect comes in. He's giving you direction for your life. It's what God gives you, not the world gives you. Vision is what God gives you, not what the world gives you. We grew up learning so many things about the world system that we're supposed to get. The white picket fence and the this and the that and all of this stuff. But what is God's vision for your life? What dream has God given you? What is God speaking to you? I wrote down for your overhead here, what does God want you to do with your life that will advance the kingdom of God? What does God want you to do that when you leave this planet, you left a mark for the kingdom of God? I'm not saying you have to get up and preach a word. I'm not saying you have to go up there and stand on a soapbox and do stuff. I'm saying in the day-to-day life, what does he want you to do that advances the kingdom? What does he want to put inside your children that become arrows that go past you? How does he want you to talk to your boss and the example he wants you to live before the world so people go and get drawn to Jesus? I want him in my life. You see, he's asking. He's asking, will you listen to what I want to speak to you? All right, that's the introduction. So let's stand. We're only going to go through two verses, so that's good. It's in Habakkuk, or however you want to say it. Chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Let's say it together. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith, by his faith. You may be seated. Two short verses I want to go over, and then at the very end, in about 3 minutes, I'm going to give you seven keys on how to develop your vision. So I know how much time I'm going to have at the end. Verse 2, then the Lord answered me and said, what did he say? Write the vision. Write the dream the Lord has given you. Write down what the Lord is speaking to you. I love the fact my wife's an amazing journaler. She journals all the time. Do you have your journal with you, hon? It's right there. It's with her most all the time. She's going to take notes on Sunday, and she's going to journal in there what the Lord is speaking to her. She's going to read her Bible in the morning, and she's going to write down what the Lord speaks to her. We're going to get into a fight, and she's going to write down the corrective action I need to take in that journal. You laugh. I'm sure it's in there. I'm saying is, that's the mouthpiece for her. That's how we hear. That's how we hear. Write the vision. Write it. He didn't say think about it. He didn't say dwell on it. He didn't say don't worry, you won't forget it. He said write it down. My question is, have you written down your vision? Have you written down pieces? I don't know the whole thing. Then what pieces do you know? What pieces do you know? Have you written it down? Is it recorded somewhere? Have you written it in your Bible, in the back pages? Or have you, where is it? Where is it right now? Oh, well, it's just in my mind. Well, it's not going to stay there because we forget things. And when trials happen, you need to remember the vision. When difficulties happen, you need to remember the vision. God has a vision for your life, something to accomplish for the kingdom of God. Write it down, journal it, and make it plain, the next scripture says. And make it plain. The word plain means to dig, to engrave, to explain, to declare. Plain means not complex. Well, you know, what the Lord wants me to do is, and then the fifth thing, and the fourth dragon tail, and this comes over here, and that over there, remainder seven, and, you know, it's not that complex. It might be, do it. It's going to be something simple. It's not going to be that hard. You can write it in a sentence. A fifth grader could know what it is. A third grader. Honestly, most of my message, I speak to the fourth or fifth grade level. So if you're getting them, hallelujah. Not complex. It's obvious. The word obvious means easily perceived or understood, clear, self-evident, or apparent. Make it plain. Make it easy. Put it in easy words. Draw it in a picture. And put it on tablets. That's what I was saying. That's her tablet right there. You know, now we actually do have tablets, right? You can put it on a tablet. Back then, it was like ching 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 ching. Now it's put it on a tablet. Why are we putting it on a tablet? Write it down, make it plain, make it simple, and put it on a tablet so you can see it and you can remember it. You can look back on it and you can keep it in front of you. All to remember it. And then it says that he may run who reads it. Who's reading it? Mainly, who's reading it? You. You should read it again and again and again and again and again. And he says here that he may run who reads it, which is you. You're supposed to run with your vision, right? Or let me say it like this. Let God's vision run your life. Can you honestly say God's vision is running my life? God's vision is running my life. I come here and I go, I don't want to do that, but whoa, God's vision is running my life. So I just say, yes, sir, I'm going to do that. Yeah, I don't want to get up and go there. No, I want to do that. I don't want to read that. I don't want to say that. I don't want to talk to that guy. Oh, no. But God's vision is running my life. Therefore, I can't just say, no, sir. We do. We just don't. We don't say no, sir. We just don't do it sometimes, right? Come back convicted and praise God for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. But let God's vision run your life. It gives your direction. I remember when I was graduated in civil engineering degree and working at the Corps of Engineers, and they offered me this position to come on staff here, and I really didn't want to do that. I wanted to be a civil engineer since I was in sixth grade, so. But there was a prophetic word over me in my water baptism. And that water baptism, it talked about the heart of an evangelist. I put this inside of you. I put this heart of an evangelist in there. So now when I'm sitting there thinking about, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? All of a sudden, pieces start coming together of the things the Lord's done in my life and words spoken over me that all of a sudden I'm going, you know what? I believe this is the will and the word of God for me. Now, it was very scary because when I finally, you know, we took a 47% cut in pay and came on staff, and it was like, uh-oh, how is this going to happen? God made it happen. He works it out. There's two things God will do. Either He can take nothing and make it a lot, or He can just give you promotion somewhere. Sometimes you're going, oh, Lord, what's going to happen? Okay, He'll give you a promotion. He'll give you more money. Or maybe what He can do is allow you to experience more with less. He does miracles on both sides. And with us, He allowed us to experience more with less. Less was more. I don't know how we did it. How did we do that, Pastor Tom? He did the same thing. He quit his job and came on staff. We're just nuts. That's why we've been together for how many? 40, almost 40 years now? Holy cow. We look at each other and go, you're nuts. And I go, I know, so are you. We're nuts. God wants us to run with passion and fulfill the vision He's given us. I think this idea of running, you get most runners that are out there running all the time, they actually like it. Some of us are going, oh God, I gotta get some pounds off. And we're on the treadmill going, oh, I feel like a rat going around the thing. And they're out there going, oh my gosh, isn't this fun? Wow, how did you get to that? I've been running for so long that now it's become fun. We're thinking, oh my gosh, this letting the Lord run my life is just so difficult and so hard. I'm just having to say no to myself, and I don't know how I'm going to. Hey, you keep doing it, pretty soon it gets fun. It gets fun. It gets fun. You're going, oh my gosh, I did that, and then this guy said that, and this guy came to Christ, and oh my gosh, I didn't want to say anything to him, but I did, and I talked to him, and I said a few things, and it wasn't very good, but somehow God used it, and now he's come to the Lord, and now he's a missionary in Africa. I mean, what is God going to do? God wants us to run. I think that word run means passion, purpose. Run with passion, run with purpose, and run for His pleasure. It takes discipline to run. It takes discipline to run. But as I said, you start and it's an ordeal. It's arduous. It's difficult. I don't want to get up again. I just want to sit in my bed. I don't want to do. But all of a sudden, it starts to change where it pushes you out of your bed. It's moving you. It's directing you. It's starting to run you. Like a Tony Wofford, you know, Tony runs marathons and this and that, and he runs whatever he can run, he's running, you know. Run, Tony, run. He's and you know what, if you ask him, why do you do that? You know, I don't think it's just for the health. I think it's because he likes it. He loves to run. He finally said, I think at one point he goes, I think I'm going to run a little less. I think I'm getting too crazy with this. You know, I want to run up Mount Kilimanjaro. I said, yes, Tony, that's too crazy. Don't do that. Some of these people run like, you know, in the desert, run 500-mile races. And I'm going, God bless them. And you need to make decisions along the way as you're running with your vision. Am I going to run today? Am I going to run with this vision, Lord, you've given me? In spite of the news I just got today, in spite of the fact that this difficulty is happening, am I going to run? Am I going to run when I see like the vision? How can it happen when it seems like there's too many things in the way? Am I going to run? Am I going to run? Am I going to be delighted? Am I going to smile and go and be an ambassador for Christ today? I'm tired. I'm tired. But somehow God gives us energy. Run with God. It's progressive. It's progressive. Running moves the vision further down the line. You see, He gave it so that you would run and write the vision. He gives you a vision and you write it down, and then you take the vision and then you run with the vision. And what it does is it takes the vision down the line toward completion. You're moving the vision. That's why you're getting up. That's why you're running. That's why you're speaking. That's why you're talking. That's why you're reading the word. That's why you're allowing God to continue to change you, because he's given you a vision, something to do with your life, a vision, a plan, a purpose, a destiny. And he's asking you to take that and run with that vision and carry it forward and carry it forward and carry it forward and see it come to pass. And maybe with your children, you pass that on down the line. You see, God wants you to run with the vision that he's given you. Something that will change the kingdom of God, because you put energy, time, and effort and discipline into it. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. It's not right now. I'm running now, but it's not for now. There's an appointed time when all of a sudden this vision goes, whoa! And there's small appointed times all along the way where you're going to allow things and people are going to, whoa, 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 thank you, thank you, thank you. But he's still got more, and he's kind of telling you, keep running, keep running, keep running, keep running. Keep running. It's for an appointed time. God's given the vision for a time, and it's going to happen sometime down the line. It's coming. It's coming. The vision has purpose, and it's going somewhere. Even though if it happens later, I'm running with it now. I'm consumed with it daily, and I carry it forward. I keep running. I keep running. I keep running. But at the end, when it's come time, it will speak. God's going to use your life, the vision he's given you, your life, your destiny, to speak to a world that needs him. Your life, your destiny, your vision, your purpose, God's plan, it will speak louder probably than your words. It will speak. It will speak. The vision speaks. The vision will mean something. The vision, your life will make a statement. Your life, the vision will have a point. And it will not lie. And it will not lie. Your life will have a point. Your life will speak. And it will not lie. This vision, this plan, this purpose that God has given you, it will not lie. It will not lie. We get the vision, the direction from God. We run with it, and it will speak truth, not a lie. And it will speak something truthful, delightful, energizing, and life-changing to a world that needs to hear it. You see, there are a lot of things that the world is espousing that they are speaking today, but they're lies. I'm saying that this world is run by the cosmic creator, this cosmos, the world, the Bible definition is run by the cosmic creator, which is the enemy, and the principles that are established through its non-Christian values are not wholesome. They may seem on the outside, but there's a bunch of lying going on. Because the devil, who has blinded the eyes of the world, is speaking lies. And they'll be shown for what they are at the end. Not now. You don't see them, oh, that seems good. That seems right. I don't know. Well, does it line up with this? Whatever the world's speaking, I got to go, wait a second, they're saying that, but this is saying that. Somebody lying. Somebody lying. I don't think God's lying. Now, but that seems more truer now than this. Oh, you're supposed to run with this because something's going to happen here at the end. This whole Bible, all of the vision, the prophecy that's in here is meant for a time, some of it down the line. It's running, and each and every generation, we've been entrusted with this to carry it further down the line to bring it toward completion. We're supposed to run with this vision. Somebody's lying. Somebody's lying. The world's shouting out to us to do what it says. It's interesting, in Isaiah 5:20, it says this: "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness." Carrie shared with me this other quote. It said, "First, we overlook evil. Then we permit evil. Then we legalize evil. Then we promote evil. Then we celebrate evil. Then we persecute those who still call it evil." Now, I love everybody, right? I love people. But I'm saying we need to understand that the world is espousing lies that right now seem good, but let me tell you what, the worm is decaying it, and it will be made for what it is, and you'll see the total destruction of it soon. It's just like the people who get involved in some sort of a vice. It seems good at the time. It's great. Just have a little of this, just a little bit of that, just click a little of that, just do a little bit of that, until all of a sudden I'm a slave to it, and I can't get out of that because someone lied to me over here. "Oh, you'll like this. This will be good for you. You'll enjoy it. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. Just do this." Until down over here, you realize, I can't get out of it. I'm a slave. Somebody lying. And I'm saying that's what's going to happen with all of the indoctrination, the ideologies of this world. I'm saying we need to be careful, Christians, that we're evaluating it this way. And when you do evaluate and say, you know, the Bible says, oh, are you just, oh, come on. This is the 21st century. I know, and this is written way back in the first century, and there's some good stuff in here. The world's vision lies, but people run with it anyway. We even say, "I just run with it. I just take it, you know, just run with it. Just run with it. Just run with it." It was a video I saw, and it's about a bunch of lemmings that are going off a cliff. A lemming is a small rodent usually found in our in or near the Arctic. And I got a video here. You can see this video here of these lemmings. Here they all, they come to the edge of the cliff, and they all jump off. They're all just jumping off the cliff. Why are we doing that? I don't know. They're doing it. He's doing it. Hey, Bob did it. Betty did it. Hey, jump. Hey, push him. No, you'll love it. It's going to be great. It's awesome. Hey, it seems wet down here. Now, the interesting thing about this video is this, is that they're jumping, and then they start swimming. Now, all these guys are in the Arctic. That's a long way to swim to shore. The problem that happened is they started swimming and swimming and swimming. They can swim for a while, but all of a sudden they can't swim anymore, and then they drowned. Nobody knows exactly why they do it. Nobody gets it other than maybe they think, hey, swim across this small body of water because we can swim, get to the other side, and it's going to be great over there. It's going to be great over there. Hey, somebody lying to you. There isn't nothing over there. And I'm saying, if it's not a picture of where our world is today, Hey, party, do this, da, 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 whatever, free sex. What, I mean, just everything goes, you know, anything goes. Just do it. And we're all just, okay, that looks fun. We just jump. And we're all jumping. Somebody said it, therefore it must be okay. And so we all just jump, and then we get in the water and go, no, just swim. Isn't this great? It's wonderful. And we start swimming, and then we start swimming. We go, wait a second, I'm getting kind of tired. I'm getting kind of tired. Hey, where's the shore going to be at? I don't know. And all of a sudden, we drown and die. If it's not a picture of what the enemy tries to do to us, hey, just jump. Everybody else is doing it. They didn't do it to commit mass suicide. That was one of the thoughts. So they're doing it to commit mass. No, they're not doing it for that reason. They're adventure. Hey, something out there. Something's lying to them, though. We have the expression lemming-like, which is if a group of people do something like lemmings, they all do the same thing as someone else, even though it may be stupid, harmful, or dangerous. One jumps, they all jump. There's great opportunity on the other shore, but it's a lie. There ain't no shore over there. You're gonna die. Don't jump. Just because someone in the world says jump. Don't espouse a philosophy, an ideology, a way of life, just because someone in the world says, this is good, this is right, this feels good, you should do this too. This is the vision we run with. It won't lie. It won't lie. And when you get at the end of it, you won't be disappointed by what happens. It goes on to say this now. Though it tarries, the word tarry is maha. It means to question or to hesitate, to be reluctant or delay. Though it tarries, this vision, Lord, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? You've spoken things to this church. When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? And it just keeps going down the line. Don't get impatient. Don't do something stupid in trying to rush it to completion. Abraham did that. But it's taken a while. Then the world has a way to bail out and go, hey, just jump off the cliff and swim. It's over here. No, it ain't. Wait for it. Wait for it. Don't get impatient. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. But I want it now. I don't care. Wait for it. It's going to do you good to not get it now. What's it going to do? It's going to create patience inside of you. Be an endurer, an overcomer. Rather than just, I want pleasure and I want it now, it's an idea of going, you know, I'm willing to sacrifice for something. I want to grow in something. I want to gain some values of hard work and dedication and effort. God grows us in the wait. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. God's vision, God says it will come to pass. It will come to pass. It's certain it's going to happen. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass, it will not tarry. Now that seems confusing to me. Though it tarries, it will not tarry. Though it tarries, it won't get tarry. Okay, I'm confused, Lord. The interesting thing is that's a different tarry. That tarry there is akar. It means to loiter, to procrastinate, to be late. Though it tarries, it will not tarry. Let me say it this way. Vision. Though it delays, it will not be late. The vision God has for you, though it delays, it will not be late. It will be right on time. Lazarus, oh my gosh, you should have been here. Jesus, he would have, oh no. I'm coming right on time, right when I wanted to be here. I wanted him dead, good and dead. We left him in here for a while so I could come and do some great things with him. This kid, man, I don't know how many years, he's born blind. I mean, but I'm going to do some great things in this kid right now. I don't always understand God's timing, but God is never late. He's always right on time. He's right on time. What has God spoken to you? Has it happened yet? He's right on time. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. We want God to hurry up, but he's saying, though it tarry, it will surely come. Though it delays, it will not be late. And when it comes, you go, yeah, you knew all the time, Lord. Right on. A side note, Abraham's vision of possessing the promised land didn't really happen for him. He inhabited it, but he didn't possess it for 600 plus years later. Think about it. God gave him a vision that got fulfilled 600 years plus later. It tarried, but it did come to pass. It wasn't late. You see, now hear this. Abraham did it for his future generations. Are you willing to have vision for that which will not necessarily benefit you, but future generations? Yes. Oh no, I just do things for me, myself, and I. I only am in this for me. What am I going to get out of this? What about the idea? It's not what I get out of it. It's what the next generation gets out of it. You know, that's why we built this building. That's why we're paying off this building. When this building gets paid off a few years, I won't even be here anymore. I mean, I'll be with the Lord. I mean, you know, years is a matter of, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day, okay? I'm just saying, we're working hard, we're sacrificing, we have for a long time to get it paid off. And you know what? We're going to hand it over to another generation, and we're going to say, go and do whatever you want. Go and evangelize, go and save the world, go and make a difference. We're going to leave here not fully benefited from us, but for a generation. A generation. And you know what? That excites me. Why are we doing it? You guys have been around here forever. You guys that built that building over there. You guys that built this building over here. You guys who are paying for this building here. And now you guys who are paying this building off right here. Why, all the young ones are running around going, yee-haw! This is great! Because we see something from God that goes beyond us. We have a passion, a burden, a vision for something greater than just selfish old us. And I think there's something very redeeming, very powerful, very awesome to a people who will embrace so much difficulty, hardship, sacrifice. Carry the vision, bring it debt free and go, here, make a bigger difference than what we did. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you. For your sacrifice. In verse 4, behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Living by faith. Please give me just a few minutes here. I just want to share a story about Amir and Devin. I asked Amir, I didn't ask Devin. I thought she might say no, but I knew Amir would say yes, so. You know, when they first came here, I just knew there was something special about him. We've been reaching out, ministering to him. Devin got into, whose Bible study? Tara Dyke's Bible study and growing. And then, you know, this strength and conditioning coach comes to our church and he's taking all these classes. He's involved in everything. I'm going, wow, this is amazing. This guy is growing. He wants to grow. It's amazing. And God's doing amazing and powerful things in him. And then he gets water baptized and there's prophecies over him. And then there's prophecies over his wife. Where are you? Yeah. This little fireball, all of a sudden, you know, I don't say much. I'm back here. No. She's a fireball. She's got the vision from God. She hears from God. She's willing to put her life on the line with God. Absolutely amazing. Because when all of a sudden the coaching transition happened and we didn't think it was going to happen for a while, I'm going, oh my gosh, they're going to leave. They got offered to go with Coach Leach in Mississippi and be there. But I remember calling him, and we called him, our leadership called him, and I said, Amir, I don't know what your thoughts are, you know, if you want to go, but for some reason, I just feel in my heart that God is supposed to, he's not done with you here. And he goes, you know, I've been thinking the same thing, and my wife has been thinking that, and it's difficult because if we don't go, there's no job here. If we stay here, then there's no job to be had. It is no guarantee that another coach picks you up because they cleaned everybody. Everybody left. He was the only guy left here. As a matter of fact, when the kids came back after break, he was the only coach that was there to tell them, hey, everybody else is gone, but I'm here for you. And I'll try to answer your questions and help you and encourage you. He was there for him. He didn't leave him. He was a shepherd, not a hireling. And all of a sudden, I feel like he's supposed to stay, and they feel that, and he makes the decision, you know, I'm gonna decline my promotion. I'm gonna decline the financial benefit that will happen. I'm gonna decline this whole thing, and I'm going to stay here with no guarantees of nothing. I might not have a job. And so we're praying for him. The new coach comes in, Coach Rolovich comes in, and he talks with the team. He gets everybody out of there, just talks with the team, and in that team talk, he asks them, what do you think about Coach Amir? And there's another grad assistant. He said, what do you think about them? And they all go, please, please, keep Coach Amir. We love him. We love Coach Amir. As a matter of fact, I went and Amir told me about one of the Jihad Woods was stuck in the snow, and so Pastor Joe and I went and tried to get him unstuck and move his car and all that stuff. And then I talked to Jihad and I said, "Hey, what do you think of the new coaching change?" And he goes, "Oh, I'm so excited! It's going to be awesome." Because I didn't know what they would think. They're excited about the change, and I said, "What do you think about Coach Amir?" And he goes, "Oh, Coach Amir. He called you Coach Owens." Coach Owens, oh, you know, Coach Owens cares about us. Coach Owens just isn't trying to get us stronger for football. Coach Owens teaches us lessons about life. Coach Owens is teaching us how to be men. And I thought, man, I was tearing up then. I told Amir, and he and I both teared up, and that's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to just be a strength and conditioning coach. He wants to make an imprint on the lives of these football players that come here. So the coach, Rolovich, said, hey, yeah, you can. I like you. The kids want you, but I'm not going to make that decision. I'm hiring my guy, my head guy from Hawaii. He's going to come, and if you guys chat and it's good, then great, but I'm not going to interfere in that. So now we still didn't have an answer. And so then the coach comes in, and he just hit it off great, and he's got a job. He even got a little bit of a raise. How's that, huh? How's that? But then on Sunday, he sang the transition. And then after the transition, Dan so beautifully was led by the Spirit and said, hey, there's more that God wants to do here. Then Amir got back up here and he started singing. He started singing a song. It wasn't just a song and a nice, we want to perform it for you. It was a song that he lived. You move mountains. You cause walls to fall. With your power, you perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here. All of us are standing here only because you, God, made a way for all of us. Amir left the stage after he went there, and then he didn't just sing it, man. He was freestyling, or I don't know what you call it. I mean, he was just loosed up, and man, he was just, all of that. Just preaching at us, man. He was just preaching at us. But it wasn't just empty words. There were words from a man who was living his vision. To him, what the Lord told him And as a result, God did a miracle. And after it all, it was so fun because Devin's up here, I'm here at the second time when they sang, and Devin's up here and she's just bawling. She's just got tears streaming down her face. I turn to her and I go, "That's your man up there. Look at him." And she's just, And then you go to the back after it's all over. Amir's just in a bundle of tears himself, just weeping. Because it wasn't just words. He saw the miracle. He saw it performed because he had a vision that he was willing to run with it and exercise his faith. And as a result, God did something so beautiful, so wonderful, that all of us got to be a part of. Amen. We'll come next Sunday. We'll get the seven benefits. Let's pray. Lord, you've given us all vision. You've spoken to us. You put things in our heart, ideas, thoughts, desires, dreams, Lord, that advance your kingdom. We look now and think, oh, I don't know, could it ever happen? But Lord God, we're going to run with it. We're going to run and believe that at the end you're going to do something profound, amazing, for it will surely come to pass. Lord God, we are so thankful for you being such a wonderful shepherd of us, that you grow us and care for us. You try to keep us out of the traps and the snares of the world. And even when we step in it, Lord, you wipe it off our feet with what you did at the cross. And we're so grateful. You forgive us. Thank you, Lord. But Lord, our heart and our desire now is to run, is to get the vision. And then, Lord God, we want to run with it with all of our heart to see all that you want to do in our lives be fulfilled, to advance your kingdom. Jesus, we love you. You're awesome. And we thank you for the difference that you made a way